Well, the Yankees off their win last night. Reason to maybe believe again in this group where hope is not all lost. And the Yankees could get healthier. Judge Boone telling the Talking Yanks podcast today, John Boy and Jake, that Judge is expected back at some point over the road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the field. That could put Bellinger in left. Dominguez to the bench. Giancarlo at DH. Yankees could get right here. Bullpen, you know, healthier and performing better, certainly with Luke Weaver doing what he did last night. Bednar solidified now in the closer's role. Things are looking up for the New York Yankees.
I don't like that tone.
What?
Just the way you said it. Listen, you know where I stand, dude. It's nice to get a win. I will never, you know, turn them down, especially when things are going really awry and bleeding out a little bit here. But last night's win to me, in terms of like regenerating confidence or reinstilling any sort of confidence, it really doesn't sound, because first of all, we've seen the script a million times for the Yankees. All right, what do they do? Twins show up, immediate roadkill. I got a stat for you. And I didn't even know, I didn't say this last at the top of the show. I found it since. Since 2002, the Yankees are 107-42 in the regular season against Minnesota and 123-44 all-encompassing against Minnesota. That's the best record any team has against any other team in baseball. So they always beat the Twins. So I'm not going to, they'll win at least two. They'll probably sweep them. And really, more than that, it's the recipe from last night is not the way you're going to win anything in October. You're going up against a kid who's overwhelmed, who's made 13 starts, who's been hammered to the tune of an ERA of 6 in his starts here. And they hit 4 solo shots. And, you know, 4 home runs. Like, when you hit 4 home runs, at least give me 11, 12 runs. That tells you other facets of the team that have been very problematic. Not enough good at-bats, not enough guys on base, not enough, you know, hitting and running or moving guys along here. So, again, I'll take the win, better than a loss here, but it doesn't change anything the way I feel about this team.
I understand that. I guess my talking point for the last, you know, week or so, and as it pertains today to even last night, like, some point the Yankees are going to start winning games. Their offense is too good not to, and the schedule coming up is going to be beneficial to the Yankees, not to mention that their bullpen is better than what it was really all year long, so that's an advantage that they have right there. Judge has done nothing for how long now? Because he was out for 10 days. He's been back.
Like, it's been about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's a significant time to have Judge do nothing. And with all that, feeling like it's, oh, man, it's got awful getting passed by the Red Sox, all that, the Yankees are still in a playoff spot. Like, now, could they lose that playoff spot? I guess they could, but I don't think that they're going to. That, to me, now, if they miss the playoffs, all bets are off. Like, we talked about it before. I think major changes are going to come within the Yankee organization, meaning not just the manager. But if they make the playoffs, which I expect them to do, who's to say that they can't go on a run that they went on last year? Like, I wouldn't expect it, but I'm not one who thought that this team was better than they were a year ago. I thought they were better last year. Remember, too, the caliber of opponent is going to be better this year in the American League. Even if it is weaker, it's still more dangerous.
Yeah, they're going to hit Schuble.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
No chance touching him.
Schuble, you just saw what the Astros could do. So the Astros are dangerous. Schuble, I know Seattle's got dangerous pitching as well. Boston themselves have good pitching. Toronto, so things are not looking easy in the American League, but I think you could certainly make a case for why you should remain at least optimistic as far as this year pertains with the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful, but it's really not rooted in a lot of things that are tangible. You know what I mean? It's more about maybe the circumstances and, hey, baseball's changed and short series, anything can happen. But here's the thing. You know, it's funny. You mentioned the Astros, right? Now, I know you know this, but I'm not sure if everybody realizes Yordan Alvarez has played 29 games this year. He's missed over 100 games. We thought coming into the season that the Astros, they lost Bregman. You know, now you have Alvarez, who basically played only the first month of the season. If you told me that in February, hey, Alvarez is going to miss almost everything and Bregman going to be gone, what are the Astros going to be? I mean, the Astros are resetting things. They're going to be roadkill here. They're going to win 80 games, whatever. The Astros, and that's the difference. Whereas you tell me about Aaron Judge missing 3 weeks, I know you're not wrong, but the reliance on Aaron Judge to do everything. Now, Alvarez is not Aaron Judge, but Yordan Alvarez is an absolute freaking beast.
Yeah.
And the Astros, they've gotten better.
I think we're saying the same thing. Like, I don't believe in this Yankee team. I never have believed in this Yankee team as far as being a World Series team. I can never get behind the way they operate. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in the way that this Yankees regime constructs a roster. I don't believe in the way that they go about the lineup. Like, I don't believe in the lack of accountability, the developing the players. That's an organizational-wide thing. However, I also did not believe in them a year ago, and they went to the World Series. That's all that I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So while it was never a good argument to say, well, look at everybody else, I think it does pertain to Major League Baseball because it's just the way of the sport. There are tremendous inconsistencies with even the best of teams in today's baseball. Furthermore, that once you get to the postseason, whether you win 120 games or 88, if you're in, anything could happen. And I hate to say that, and I still don't believe the Yankees are going to the World Series. I don't believe they're a World Series team. But with the bullpen, with their bats, if Judge goes on a tremendous heater, mm-hmm. along with Giancarlo in the postseason, you're telling me the Yankees can't with their bullpen? And with
They could. I mean, they could. I don't feel it, but I'll grant you what you just said. I hear you.
Right now, we don't feel it. Similar with the Mets, where how can you feel anything but negativity with the Mets right now? Losers of 11 of 12 games. Like, that's a rough stretch. A good team should never lose 11 of 12 games, especially when you factor in that they're healthy. Like, this should not be happening. Division slipping away from them. But we saw them win 2 weeks ago, 7 games in a row. Who's to say that they can't win 7 in a row starting tonight? And I do believe that tonight's going to be the beginning of the turnaround for this team and make things interesting once again in that division. And again, even rock bottom for the Mets. Think about what we're saying. And it was, I mean, it better have been rock bottom on Sunday. That's as bad as it gets. Blowing a game, a 5-0 lead after you blow a game where your guy gets thrown out at home. Like, it has just been, the Mets are finding just brutal, one worse than the next, brutal ways to lose these games. They get into the postseason, anything's possible. Not just because it's the postseason, anything's possible, because I do believe they have the guys, specifically Soto in the lineup, a loaded bullpen. They do have the recipe to have success once they get there.
You know what's nuts here? And because they just played the Brewers, it's fresh on my mind. Now, you know, from a Met perspective, the validity in what I'm about to say might not ring as true because you guys beat them in the playoffs last year. You sent them home. Pete taking Devin Williams probably is what cooked Devin Williams, and he comes here. That was the final shot to his big-time baseball career. But because he's cooked here, he's never going to be the closer again. If he is, they're nuts. But I think that and it really hit me during the weekend. Like, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. In the steroids, you know, Giambi comes here. Oh, just more muscle, home run. Yeah. Of course we love home runs. But wasn't it fun? Maybe not for you because there was the Brewers, Mets were playing. But watching their style, isn't that an awesome style of baseball to watch?
Yes. Putting the bat on the ball against Helsley.
Running the bases.
Yeah, understood. Taking the extra base. That's how you win baseball. I love that. I'd like to see the sport get more back to that.
Yeah.
It's something I think both the Mets and Yankees need to do. Mm-hmm. You want the star, but you want the other stuff around it. But now my question is going to be, when have the Brewers ever won anything with significance? And do you believe that push comes to shove in October, are they going? Now, maybe they do. I don't know. But do you believe that the Brewers are the best team in baseball right now? Are they going to continue this for the next month and a half plus October?
Probably not. But they feel different this year than they did a year ago. And I'll give you this, too. Back to the Yankees and the Mets again in terms of style. I mean, how about a hybrid version of Milwaukee where eventually, you know, how you draft, how you develop, how you play, style, it kind of looks like the Brewers, only you have a New York payroll. So do have that superstar. You have a Judge. You have a Soto. You know, and then you have the other pieces around it. And speaking of the salary, so we know, listen, in terms of just allocation now, all right, the Mets are at $339, the Yankees are at $298. You are talking about $640 million of, in my opinion, what is a mangled mess of baseball rosters.
Right.
Yankees have a multitude of issues. Mets have a multitude of issues. I mean, how poorly could you spend $640 freaking dollars?
I know, but think about it this way. Literally a week ago, right? Because the Mets have lost 7 straight games. The Brewers have won 10. A week ago, the Mets were 4 games worse than the Brewers. So with all that being said, how great, how well the Brewers play, how bad the Mets have been, whatever you want to say.
Yep.
1 week ago, there was a 4-game difference between the two teams. Now it's much more significant because the Brewers have won 10 straight.
And they played each other.
Okay, Brewers have won 10 straight. Yeah. Mets have lost 7 straight. So now the Mets are 11 games behind the Brewers. So it seems like, wow, look at that disparity. But my point is that the whole season long, it was not like that. Right now, it's easy to say the Brewers are the best, the Phillies are the best.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays, whatever, pick a team, the American.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. That's why I'm not really saying
I get it.
The total edge of the cliff here, because you're not wrong.
And all I'm saying is I'm just trying to learn with it. I overreacted last year, overreacted this year, and overreacted.
Guilty. Me too.
Yeah, well, it happens. We do it. We're fans. We're supposed to be irrational. But I think the overreaction, like Mike Vaccaro, who I love.
He's the best.
He called the Mets over the weekend.
I saw that.
After not only referring to the Mets as the dog bleep days of August.
I remember that.
He said that they're a wretched baseball team.
I read it.
That to me is going over the top. Now, maybe he's proven to be right. Maybe the Mets missed the postseason.
I think now they are a wretched team right now.
Yeah, but
the way they're playing on a nightly basis for a while, they are as bad as you can be.
But then you could say they're playing wretched baseball. And even that, I wouldn't even say that they're playing wretched baseball. They've been getting beat in brutal, crushing ways. I don't look at this team and say this is a wretched baseball team. I've seen more than enough, and so has Vac throughout the course of his life, to know
they say more than us.
The difference between a wretched baseball team and what the Mets are. They're still in the postseason. So,
yep.
And I'm not trying to go after him specifically.
No, listen, and I talk about him. We love him.
Yeah, we love him.
He's the best columnist in my lifetime in New York City, in my opinion.
I guess my point is that we have to evolve with the way the sport is evolving. And even teams that go through a wretched stretch, losing 11 of 12, looking god-awful, it's still not all hope is lost, where there are pieces in place and reason to believe it can get turned around sooner than later.
Sensible sound.
It's not. I don't
know
what's
going on.
I know, believe me. I'm thinking to myself.
What?
Have I gotten, seriously, this is me. Now I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm thinking to myself, okay, am I being this way because of our relationship with Boone? Am I being this way because I went and talked with Mendy for a little bit? And like, I really had to do some self-evaluating, make sure I'm not doing that. And I don't believe that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was critical of this team, and I will be critical of this team. I think Lindor's been awful. Nimmo has been useless. Now, I said I would have traded Nimmo months ago, and people are like, ah, I would have traded Alonso years ago. So I have like core issues, fundamental beliefs, why I don't believe this roster is a World Series winning team.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Soto would elevate them to a point and maybe they could get by that. So I'm not saying that they're perfect, but I also got to be realistic and say, hey, you know what? If this is rock bottom and they're still in the playoffs, and then in the postseason, what we saw a lesser Mets team do a year ago, why wouldn't I think a team with Soto could do even better with a healthier rotation and a much better bullpen? I think all is right there, to where in 2 months we could be looking back at this saying we were crazy to think that the Mets were an awful team where they could go on a run.
It's on the table. It's on the table for both teams. I don't feel it. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I will be, but I'd be happy if I am. Here's the bottom line, too. Like, when you look at the Yanks and the Mets, right? To me, both teams are busted. Both teams have so many flaws that I believe will get in the way of them winning a championship. All right? I'm on the record. Whatever. But the difference in terms of analysis, like the day-to-day conversation between the Yanks and the Mets, there's got to be separation. And I'm clearly getting this. The level of scrutiny toward the Yankees must be more aggressive, because Cashman's been there since the mid-80s. Not as the main guy, but you know what I'm saying. Fishman, Tim Nehring, all the same people making the same decisions, the same roster construction flaws. Stearns just got there. Cohen's been here a half a decade. Howe's been here forever. It's very different. So it's not the same measurement, even though the Mets aspire to get to historically where the Yankees are. We all get that. That's what they're trying to do. And we'll see if that ever happens. But the analysis, I think, has to be shaped in a way that is a little more, for me, a little more fair to the Mets, because they're so early in their new reset, if you will.
I'm glad that you said it, because I don't know if I said that specifically, but alluding to that the last week or so, and then even earlier we talked about that. It's not that, the Met fans absolving the Mets from, no. It's that the Yankees, like it or not, are held to a higher standard because they are much further along, 30 years and counting, much further along the process. And that's why I have a hard time going hard at the Mets, because I am, a part of me is just thankful that they're relevant and in the conversation of being a playoff team, where I'd be going nuts saying that if they didn't have the roster worthy of a playoff spot and we're, again, 10 games out of the playoffs or 10 games under 500, that to me is when you go nuts. Right now, now, the results are going to be different. If they miss the playoffs or they get ousted, then you could go nuts. You could pick apart why that's the case, but it's not on the owner. You could start getting on the GM saying he's got to make better moves. The pitching was question mark going in. You could say the lineup construction, whatever you want to say. All fair. Mendoza. But the Mets as an organization are in the infancy stages of building what the Yankees have already built for 3+ decades. And the Yankees have been losing or falling short of the ultimate goal, winning a World Series, consistently for the same freaking reasons for how many years?
You nailed it. And the one thing, like, and I hate that this happens, because I think about that too, relationship with Boone, and I don't know Mendy, but I get you.
Right.
Same with Tino, if I have to hit St. John's. Like, I try to step back and say, am I being clouded through a relationship,
it's important,
right?
Not to be for what we do.
100%. Right. 100%. Like, I try to get separation. I think I'm successful most of the time, but not perfect. Right. I'll give you that. But there is an element of vitriol that's crept into the Yankee conversation. Like, there is anger. Like, if you listened to the show yesterday, Sal was off. I mean, I took a blowtorch to all of them, you know, and free all yeah, but I stand by what I said. No
geeks,
disrespect.
Geeks and nerds.
I stand by it all. Bunch of nerds who couldn't grip a bat, didn't know the difference between a two-seam or a four-seam, telling Aaron Boone what to do. Get lost, dude. Take your, what is that? The mathematical device. No, not that. Take the protractor and just hit the mountains. Get lost, dude. But the bottom line is this. As much as I stand by what I said, the vitriol, it does sound almost angry, and maybe it's a little misguided, but it sounds misguided for some. I don't think it is. The Met reaction is not vitriolic, and it shouldn't be. The only way it should have been vitriolic pertaining to the new regime, if Steve Cohen didn't make a run at Juan Soto, then you could be sitting there, whoa.
Right.
Hey, you're worth $18 billion, dude. You bought this team. We went through the Wilpon nonsense. Why the hell aren't you doing what we thought you would do? But that's not the case.
Right.
So it's not vitriolic.
Also being aggressive at the trade deadline. It's on the players and the manager. Got to get the job done. But it's only August 12th. So to your point, you want to be, spew venom or whatever. There's a time to do that. It's, in my opinion, it's not August 12th, not the way that the sport has changed. I took Sammy to the Museum of Moving Image when I was on vacation a couple weeks back, and they have a great Muppets display. Like, if that's your thing, that is a must.
Really?
First of all, it's a cool museum anyway. Yeah. It's right next door to where the old Fan Studios used to be in Astoria, the Kaufman Astoria Studios.
By the teacup, where they filmed Sopranos.
Yeah, Silver Cup Studios.
Silver Cup.
On that side, yeah. So now it looks totally different. I'm like, wow, this looks totally different. Really? Meanwhile, it's like 25 years ago.
It's true.
But it is the Museum of Moving Image right there where we used to work at Kaufman Astoria Studios, which is still there. It's just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
They have old movies. Like, you'd like it.
Yeah.
I know, knowing you're the old movie buff, I'm not a museum person at all.
Well, neither am I. Museums. You go look at art. I mean, sculptures.
No, not art, but I'll give you the Muppet thing, for example. Yeah. So you walk in, and there's Kermit. Now, he's in a case, but they have the actual Kermit the Frog, or one of them. Big Bird's there. It's actually freaky, dude, to be honest with you.
How big is Big Bird?
It's the full-size
guy. Is he bigger than Patrick Ewing?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I don't know how... Can you look up how tall Big Bird is, in fact? I'll tell you, though, it's freaking scary. Now I'm holding Sammy. I'm like, oh, look at Big Bird. I'm trying to look the other way because I don't want to make eye contact. It's freaky,
really?
Man. Yeah.
What else was there?
All of them, like all those things. But then even
Oscar the Grouch?
Big Bird, 8'2".
Wow. Sign him up.
So imagine walking real life size Big Bird thing, just sitting there with the blank stare in a case. Like,
I got you. I can see why it's a little freaky.
It is a little freaky. But then they have all, like, I don't know, just different pieces from different sets over the years and, things that are written of how Jim Henson created this stuff. Like, really. And that's just one section. They could have the, Star Wars movies. You know the Exorcist movie?
Yeah. Well, I didn't really get into that one too, but I've seen it.
But I walk in, I see that thing sitting there on one of the
Really?
Floors.
This is in, not even in Manhattan, huh?
No, it's in, well, it's
Queens.
In, it's
a,
yeah, Astoria, Queens.
Interesting.
Museum of Movies.
Sammy like it all?
She enjoyed the Muppets part of it, yeah. I mean,
she doesn't have a choice. I mean, but Daddy basically made her be a Muppets fan, like a Mets fan.
She liked it more than I thought. All right, I promise we'd get back to the calls. Let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Allie is calling from Mayapak. What's up, Allie?
Hey, guys. Great show today. Thank you for taking my call. You guys are really on point with everything. And, as a Yankees fan, my question is to both of you guys. BT, you're talking about Fishman and analytics and on point with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year with the World Series, they had a perfect path to the World Series. Let's face it, the Royals and Guardians were not on the same level as the Yankees.
Yep.
But when they got against the Dodgers, they were totally exposed for their flaws. But my question is, when the Yankees didn't make the playoffs in 2023 and they brought in Babin and Minaya to be a balance to the analytics and bring in all that experience for roster construction and player development and player analysis and drafting.
I remember.
We see the same thing. So what was that just to throw a bone to the fans and make us think there were going to be some changes for all the 10 teams that Boone said has caught up to
the Yankees?
Because nothing is different. Nothing is different.
That's true. Thanks for the call, Allie. I don't think it was like, hey, let's try to throw the fans off scent and make them think we're doing something different and bring these two guys in, Sabian, who's been around forever and Omar. No, I think that they were well-intentioned and that the, you know, they wanted to glean some different information from some very respected baseball people. My question always was, how much juice do they actually have?
Right, well, that's the point.
Well, are they going to stand up and usurp what Cashman says in a meeting down at Tampa? There's no way. No.
Well, maybe
I
even,
don't think so.
Maybe even less than Cashman. What about the analytical people?
Yeah, or them.
Hypothetically, if Omar Minaya, who I know well, I get to work with him at SNY for years, and I know he loves power. Let's say Omar Minaya wanted Pete Alonso. Anybody listen to him?
Well, there was a thought that the Yankees were kicking the tires on Pete.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe they were doing that just because of him, but I don't know the answer to that.
They ended up going with Goldschmidt, and maybe it was because of analytics or what or defense. I don't know, but
cheaper too. Yeah, don't forget about that.
Well, honestly, we could pick Pete apart all we want. Who would you rather have right now, Goldschmidt or Pete Alonso? Like, it's not even close.
Yeah, Pete
at first, yeah. And that's just one example.
But not for a 4 or 5 year deal. Would have taken him to get here.
Well,
I don't think.
I mean, maybe they could have got him for the Mets. Either way, I'm just using that as an example because I know the type of player that Omar likes. Do you really think that Omar Minaya and Brian Sabian have the ultimate say or real impactful voices within the Yankee hierarchy?
I would hope that they do, but my instincts say they do not, just based on human nature. When you've been in charge for 30 years, you're not relenting power to anybody.
I think they are different voices. I don't think they are powerful voices. Keith is calling from Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Keith. What's up, man?
I've been listening to you for years, man, and, you know, every time Jeter comes up, you have to knock him down a peg. You always have a caveat to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeter made it very clear when he retired that it was probably going to be the last time you saw him on the field performing in pinstripes. And if it is a pettiness thing to Cashman, like, that's fine, because Cashman is clueless. Cashman almost lost Jeter and Judge because of his arrogance. There's all kinds of problems. He can't start the season with a third baseman, but he's going to draw the line and get tough with Jeter and Judge. It's nonsensical. And the fact that, like, I understand you go out to lunch with A-Rod now, so, like,
no,
I don't
no,
know
it's
what the
once,
deal
dude.
Is. Jeter
no.
screwed you over on
no,
the way up.
No, no, no,
but,
no.
Like, it's ridiculous.
We didn't talk about Derek, except Alex was very complimentary of that, honestly. No, here's the thing, though. And I'm happy you pushed back on this, and thanks for the call. Listen, my main thing, Keith, is that, and Derek was incredibly clutch, and the stats tell us he's one of the greatest, you know, hitters, whatever. I mean, he's a great player. I'm not trying to take that away, but it was if Mickey Mantle and Yogi and Whitey and all the other great Yankee luminaries can waddle out in their 60s in the pinstripes and scooter, Derek Jeter can't show up and wave to the crowd. I just thought it was disingenuous myself. And by the way, any pushback or not even beef, because I don't know him like that at all, and I do have great respect for him. But my biggest gripe, this goes back to when I was on 1050 back in the day, I would say this as well. I thought Derek, as a captain, was overly selective in who he defended. Never defended Alex, but he told the fans to stop booing Giambi for the steroids. No, you're the captain for the entire team. Not for this guy because you like him, or this guy not because you don't, or you used to be best buddies with him, but now you're not. I just thought it was a little phony.
But if he didn't like... Well, see, I thought it was the opposite of phony. I thought it was real. If he didn't like A-Rod...
You're still the captain.
You know what? You're on your own.
Giambi just got there, though. How well can he like Giambi?
Everybody loves Giambi. He's a great teammate. Again, I don't know. I don't know the inner workings. I do know that A-Rod wronged Jeter and said some disrespectful things.
Yeah, and by the way, he was right what he said in the Esquire magazine.
Fair enough.
But I can see why Derek would be bothered by that. No question.
100%. You disrespect me? You want to belittle me? Okay.
Yeah.
And now you're coming to my house. This is my team. I'm the captain. You want to be a big boy and talk all tough with all your home runs and all that power? Go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then... I understand what you're saying. As a captain, it doesn't matter. You have to put personal grudges aside.
You have to. Then, by the way, then don't show up to A-Rod's introductory press conference, which he did. And he had a half a puss on.
Yeah, well, they made him, because they made him do it.
Because he's the captain. Yeah. But so if you're the captain at his press conference, be the captain when things are going a little bit awry. Telling the fans to stop booing, I don't think anybody should ever do. But he did do it for one guy. Actually, did it for more than just Giambi. And again, listen, Alex made a lot of mistakes himself. Yeah. There's no doubt he complicated his early Yankee existence. This time, what I'm saying, not even about Alex now.
Correct.
I just think Derek has always been... I appreciate a rawness and a realness when somebody speaks. That's what I relate to. I've related to that my entire life. And every single time that Derek spoke, It was a manufactured, vanilla, nonsensical nothing, robotic, okay? And then all of a sudden, the career's over. Hey, let me go on TV and start doing documentaries and pods. I have a personality. Well, where the hell was it for 20 years?
See, I don't mind the lack of personality while he was playing because he did everything he needed to do and could do on that field. Maximized whatever God-given ability he had. Max effort for the New York Yankees, represented that organization as well as anybody throughout the entire great Yankee history. Has. I do, however, take issue with Jeter not showing up for Old Timers Day. I don't even care if you get in uniform or not. Dress in your normal people clothes, whatever you want to do.
For sure.
You got it. Because to me, it's not about you.
Correct.
Derek, it's about the fans.
Bingo.
And if I'm a fan of the New York Yankees and I love Derek Jeter more than anybody else, and a lot of Yankee fans do during those dynasty years, I'm getting robbed of seeing one of my idols.
Yeah.
Who we want to see once a year. I don't think that's too much to ask. You don't have to play. You don't even have to put on the uniform. Maybe you don't even have to put on a hat. Just show up and be Derek Jeter and wave to the crowd or be seen, get introduced.
Yeah.
That's it. That's, at the very least, that's what he should do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the field, the 1977 New York Yankees. No Reggie. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, on the ice now, the 94 champion New York Rangers. No mess. Right. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's got to be there. So that's a big difference to me than him not talking during his playing days. Neil is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Neil?
Hi, gentlemen. Hope everybody's well.
How are you?
Guys, I'm great. Thank you. BT, you're really there talking about it. You brought it up yesterday. Somebody just brought it up again. You said it before. I was able to coach at a pretty high level, ran into a lot of people who went through the Yankees system.
Yep.
Some are still around. Honestly, Michael Fishman runs the New York Yankees. He's got an analytical department of 40 or so people. It is a scripted night. It's the lineup. When they talk about lanes, that's all discussed, predetermined. If you listen now, Clint Frazier's on like a podcast.
Yeah, I saw that. I did.
Yeah, he's talking a lot of stuff, but it's the truth. It's not, you know, it's not, I can't blame Boone. I mean, I really think, and you can tell by his actions, especially when he makes pitching changes, you see him, he's almost prompted to do it. It's like it's.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Hold on. So if Fishman and his cronies said put Cortez in against Freddie Freeman in Game 1 of the World Series, then, you know, they're dopes. I mean, listen, I like Aaron. That one's on Aaron Boone. That was a massive mistake.
I honestly would think that was discussed by all of them, and that was not Boone's. Boone might have weighed in on it in some capacity.
Yep.
I don't think it was his decision 100%.
I mean, we'll never know. I mean, and thanks for the call. And the thing, listen, the one thing you've got to be careful with, and you talk about Clint Frazier, and he's been popping in, and I know Jabba's been pretty vocal. Phil Hughes has been pretty vocal. There's some other, you know, former Yankees over the years, within the last 15, 20 years or so, that are now starting to get a voice in either the pod space or on social media. You got to be careful. I mean, Clint Frazier was a horrendous defensive player who never played well. So how much is sour grapes? Yeah. I don't know. I can't delineate. I'm not going to push it aside and say he's lying.
But he has an axe to grind.
Yeah, he does. But a lot of people, he's not alone, is what I'm saying. A lot of former Yankees are saying, hey, when I was coming up in the minors, there was no emphasis on this or that, or there was, and it was the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a commonality amongst many people this century that played in the Yankee chain that are now out of the game, and they're like, I don't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I think everybody knows the Yankees have gone far too analytical, but it's hard to criticize that when other teams, like, are the Dodgers not analytical? I mean, is it just because we're comparing the Yankees to their great dynasty years, and we know that they had such gamers? Anything but analytical, absolute gamers that would go out there and give you the best at bat possible, even the guys who weren't the most talented in the world. And now that they're so heavily reliant on analytics, like most other teams, even though they were in the World Series a year ago, there's something that's lacking in comparison to those great teams that we just can't get behind.
Yeah.
And that, I think, emphasizes all this negative stuff that has come out about them.
Well, I mean, it was just so night and day, the difference in IQ and fundamental prowess with the Dodgers and the Yankees being on the same field last year. So, ideally, I don't know to what degree, like, the Dodgers are 83% committed to analytics and the Yankees are 80 or flip it. I don't know exactly, but what I do know, analytics analytically, it worked for the Dodgers. And then the blood and guts aspect of it, guys running, hitting the cut, taking the extra base, you know, having stones. Like, they've also got that right. So their analytics cannot really be questioned because they got dogs. I said yes. Yeah, he's got a bunch of poodles.
Yeah. Also,
dogs.
Analytics are not the reason why Austin Wells walks off a second base when there are two outs in the inning. Analytics are not why Jazz Chisholm, for some reason, thought it was more important to make sure his speed stayed on the bases and get doubled off of first base.
And by the way, doubling down after the game. He said that after the game too.
I went nuts about this the week that you were out here. Analytics also does not prevent the Yankees from having a good left fielder. Like, when Judge comes back and Bellinger is in left and Grisham is center, the Yankees are still going to have their same analytical department, but they're going to be much better defensively because Jason Dominguez, who's not good in the outfield, is not going to be out there. You know what I'm saying? So it's not all analytics either. It's that the players aren't doing their job. Hoff, maybe you could chime in on this one from a Mets fan perspective. BT, first, let me just ask you, you have any interest in Alonso breaking the Mets franchise home run record?
This is going to sound wrong, and as I preface it with, I'm not trying to make it sound wrong.
Yeah.
So it's just not a record that sounds like it's anything special.
Well, that's because it's not.
I you know what I'm saying? It's like it's a low number. If anything, I think it really just illuminates the futility for the most part of the Mets.
Agreed.
And I'm not trying to be that guy.
Agreed. And as a Mets fan,
I'm going to be happy for Pete.
Correct. I'll be happy for Pete. And for those Met fans who do care about it, because there are going to be some who do. I personally do not. I hope he hits 15 home runs tonight because I want to see them beat the Braves, not because I want to see him have any kind of record. And it also does speak more to the futility of the organization. I think it's the third fewest homers
It might be the fewest. I remember
there's
two other teams.
Go over, I'm pretty sure.
The Padres, I believe, are one.
That's right.
Not the Rays. Yeah, yeah. Padres and Diamondbacks, right?
Yeah, and Machado's the Padres guy at this point, right? I think I read. Yeah, we did this a couple weeks ago.
Right,
yep.
So was it like a big deal in San Diego when Machado broke it? I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time.
They didn't even register. They didn't even know.
All right, so what is your feeling, Hav? You're a big Alonso fan.
The twofold here, okay? Because I'm tired of the Mets not having a real history, and that's one thing that Steve Cohen said he's going to change. So this is important for Pete Alonso to break it, plus he needs to go past it. Like, he needs to be hitting another 100-plus home runs on top
of this. But he might be gone after this year.
Well, right. That's a problem. But
So that's even more of the point. If you were to tell me Alonso's going to be locked up, like, I think Lindor is going to end up breaking this thing. And then Soto's going to break.
Yeah.
Soto's now, but at least by that point, it'll be maybe a real record. You would think.
Yeah, I would hope so. Here's the other thing about this, too.
I mean, think about it. 253 home runs?
I know. It's,
for a franchise? 250?
Well, it's embarrassing, right? Well, but that's also because they didn't keep Strawberry. So you think about that, and then he would have piled on, too. Here's the other thing, too, for Pete Alonso's sake and the fans' sake. When has Pete Alonso hit a big home run at Citi Field in front of a big crowd?
Well, what? He'd never done that before? What are you talking about?
Not really.
Well, his rookie season, he's hitting big home runs left and right.
Where was the Brewers home run? It was in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, like, he tied the record in Milwaukee.
But is this...
So this is something that at least he could do it at home.
Oh, okay, but
I'm excited for that.
If he hits a home run tonight in the first inning, is that a big home run at Citi Field? It's not. Like, not to me.
I would say, as a non-Met fan, but as just a baseball fan, I would say I'm happy he didn't hit one over the weekend in Milwaukee.
Agreed.
Like, I think it would be great. They're going to have 40,000 again. Everybody, every game's been packed to the gills. So
they want to see him break the record.
Yeah, and for him to have that moment where he was almost gone, you know, it was very tenuous there for a moment. Is Pete coming back? Is he not? To step on top of the top of the dugout, take off his helmet, and get that moment with the Met fan, I even appreciate that. Yeah. So that part's really cool.
Let me ask you it this way, because I was in the building for Gary Sheffield's 500th career
home
run.
Means nothing, though. But Gary Sheffield, come on, from a Mets perspective.
Well, I was going to ask you this. Bigger accomplishment, a big leaguer hitting his 500th career home run or breaking the Mets franchise home run record at 253?
Well, I could actually be cute and say, well, there's only one Mets franchise guy, but there's, 15, 18, 20 guys who have 500 bombs or more? So based on the numbers,
well, whatever,
you know my answer, but based on the historical... Like, just the juice that benchmark has, you know the answer.
Yeah, but that's why, to me, was Gary Sheffield known as a Met? No, the complete opposite of anything. But I remember being there, and remember feeling like it was a big deal seeing seeing the guy get 500. Tom Glavine is 300th win.
Yeah, that's another
as
one.
As a Met.
Yeah.
Like, now, were those longtime Mets? No, but those are big benchmarks. I'm not trying to minimize this. I think it's great for Pete. I think it's great for the Met fans who get into it. Just for me, personally, it just does not do anything.
I didn't think that it would, and I thought it would do a little bit more for Hoff. So I'm not surprised by this. Where it would have deeper significance, probably for you, and definitely even more for everybody who's already into it, which are most Met fans. You know, if he hits it tonight, hits it tomorrow, whatever, he breaks Straw's mark, and then somehow is here for another 5 years or so,
maybe different,
and goes over 500.
Right,
now
right.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, now that's, I'm glad you brought that up. If Pete were ever to hit 500. That would be a huge deal.
Yes, it would be.
Because now you have a homegrown Met who not only has the franchise record, but it's a legit 500. That's something I could root for. Do you ever think we're going to see that? Now, he also remember, he got screwed by the pandemic because you played 50 games or 60 games in 2020.
So did Judge. So did Lindor. So did Soto.
Understood, but those are totals that factor in here. He got robbed of how many homers? You have it up there, Hoff. Can you look at a lot? How many he hit in 20?
He hit 16 home runs in 57 games
so he
in
got,
2020.
Let's say he got robbed of 30, 25?
16 and how many, Hoff? I'm sorry, 57?
57.
All right, so go 16 times 2 is 32. 57, basically 120. He's on pace for 40.
Right, so even if he hit, like, this year should be theoretically 300.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yes,
would be
yes.
a big, that's a yes. pretty big number for a homegrown. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but you're missing even the bigger problem down the road, the lockout. That might wipe out the whole season.
I know. I get it. Takes away another season. It impacts these guys' careers. Fred McGriff, to me, was the one who got screwed by it most. He was 7 short of 500 career home
runs.
Was
it 493? Is that what he was at?
I do love Fred McGriff. Now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But thankfully, in later years. But he was 7 short of 500. And meanwhile, they had the 1994 strike.
Sure.
Like, he easily would have made it.
Yeah.
So. He's played. So this is his 7th year. Okay. And he's played in, you know, basically every game.
Right.
Almost 964 games. So say he plays another 7 years. Do you think he could double his numbers? This season's not even over yet.
I don't think he's going to average 40. So I'm going to put him at 30. But that's being incredibly conservative because at some point you're probably going to miss time with injury as you get older.
Right.
So
well,
30 times
7
is 210.
Some years will hit fewer.
I mean, yeah. I mean, do I think he'll double? I think that's a really good question. Based on the math, I think it's right in the neighborhood. Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Wait, how old is he again?
He just turned 30 in December.
Just turned 30.
Doesn't he feel older than that, though?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you guys have been calling him 30 for 2 years.
Yeah, I
feel like everybody has.
I know.
It's not even just you guys. Everyone's like, oh, he's older than 30. Like, the guy just turned 30 in December.
So he'll be 31 next season.
Yes.
And you said you need 7 seasons of how many?
I just doubled it up. I gave him 30 conservatives.
If you do 7 times 30, where's that?
210. 210 plus where he's at now. You're still short of the 500, but now you're getting towards 450. And he's going to have a couple of years more than 30 for sure if he stays here.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to finish the season, too. So even if he hits like 10 more home runs, it's 260 maybe.
Yeah.
Right. So. That's a good point. He should hit maybe more than 10, you would think, the rest of the way.
Yeah, better.
I think he's got to. Now, the other question is, and maybe this is the most important one, do you think there's any chance he gets 500 as a Met?
No. I don't. Sadly. I'd love to see it. I don't see it. He's not Stearns' kind of guy.
I will give it a 30% chance. 30% chance because he breaks this record. Then you start to think about the future, and it's harder to cut ties with people like Derek Jeter. You could never let Jeter go. You could never let certain guys go from the Yankees. If they're creating a history, if they're creating this, you know, memories and retiring numbers the way they're doing, you can't let go of the guy that set the record for most home runs.
All right, let me ask you this way. Mets have a decision to make in the offseason. It's either or. You can't have both.
Trade Nimmo.
No.
Oh, right. Zach, we're all off on Nimmo at this point.
It's either bring Pete Alonso back. Forget about the terms, financial terms. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about pound for pound, player for player. Either bring Alonso back or sign Kyle Schwarber.
Bring Alonso back.
Yeah. I you know what? I can respect that answer. I know Schwarber's got 42,
BT,
43,
on,
better eye, understood.
Met fans are going to say Alonso. The right answer is Schwarber.
The right answer for a couple of years of more home runs,
Who's
big picture sentimentality, that's the wrong answer.
Here's where you got me. if you told me Kyle Tucker or Pete Alonso.
Well, that's as easy as it gets.
But is it, though? Because if you, your heart truth, say Pete Alonso.
Kyle Tucker or Pete Alonso.
I mean, come on. Now, the Schwarber's going to be 33 next year, but still, all you're asking him to do is be a DH.
I know.
That's the one. We overlooked that. If Cohen just would have signed him, you know, what was it, 4 years ago?
Dude, he hits rockets. He hits like wiffle ball
and
home
runs. And the Yankees.
Runs.
We were begging the Yankees to sign him.
I know. I've always liked Schwarber.
What are we doing here?
He's got such a sweet
swing. Can we do an offseason trade, by the way? I think it's perfect for the Mets and Yankees. Brandon Nimmo for Giancarlo Stanton. I'll do that right now.
Why would the Yankees want Brandon Nimmo?
How many years are you going to eat off the cut? I don't want 5 years of Nimmo.
Why would you want him, but nobody
wants Stanton anymore.
I don't want Nimmo.
Okay. So I want Stanton for his home runs, and he can actually be a DH.
I brought Stanton up for the Mets. I don't know if it was last year.
I've always said yes to that. I wouldn't want him.
Go find another DH.
How about a three-way trade? Let's get the Ducks involved. Then you ship Nimmo to the Ducks.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, picking on poor Brandon Nimmo. But
nah, he's just...
Dude, he struck out like 15 of the last... 16 times, whatever it is.
But I respect. I'm not trying to bag on Nimmo. He's just not as good as you wish he was, and he needs to be. But the guy plays his ass off. He's a leader. I'm not trying to knock him in.
But playing hard.
But he shouldn't be batting fourth. I can promise you that.
Playing hard only goes. I mean, look, Steve Cohen said it himself. I mean, the core four, dude. We said it at the time, even when he was going well.
The core four. One of the dumbest things.
You can't put Nimmo in the core four. So he's hitting 250. On base of 321.
Oh, Fab Four. That's right.
Fab Four. Just like the Beatles, exactly. Thank you, Dove. Just like the Beatles. Nimmo, even if the number, like, just.
I know.
Numbers aren't awful because you can end up with over 20 home runs, 250 batting average for him. You'd take that. His career average is 260.
What's his on base percentage? I know it's dropped basically
321.
Yeah, I mean, dude, come on. Look where it was five, six years ago. Every year it's gone lower.
The contract it was because he was a 400 on base guy.
Read it in descending order.
From 2021 on.
Give me just the on base percentage. Go.
401.
401.
367.
367.
363.
363.
327.
Oh, boy. 327.
321.
321 now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking 5 years in a row of going the wrong direction.
Come on, man.
And there's no sign of a market correction. It's getting worse.
Hey, but he's got almost 20 home runs.
There you go. And he hustles after a walked out of bag, just like Pete Rose.
but obviously the OPS, even with more power that he's showing, that has gone consistently down. 838, well, it went 800, then 828, and now 829. 727, 753. Like, dude, man, look, I like Nimmo. Good guy.
Yeah. He is a good guy.
Got the right attitude.
Yes, he does.
I think he's perplexed as to why he's inconsistent.
I know he's had some foot issues. Who knows? But the problem is, like, if he was a better outfielder, that's the thing, too. He signed that as a center fielder. So he's not even playing center field. He's got a noodle arm in left field. Like, it's just, like, if he was a plus defender, you know, and the on-base was dropping, all right, more to justify or easier to justify. Just, he never had a good arm, but the other aspects of his game were eroding too quickly. I'm not looking to bag on Nimmo. Every Met fan knows what he is, and I think more specifically, they know what he is not at this point.
It's not about looking to bag on him. It's about, hey, why is this team losing 11 of 12 games? He's a big part of that. Do the math.
It's fair.
Lindor as well. Hey, he's supposed to be part of that Fab Four. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys. Nobody's going to be picking on Vientos or Jeff McNeil or Alvarez. Yeah, to a certain extent, but those guys are way, way less relevant than Brandon Nimmo, who's hitting fourth, to your point. Hey, get the job done here.